God wants us to believe Him that we might live a long, good, healthy life. If you're not around, all the anointing that God has placed on you to be a great blessing to this generation is lost. So if you're not satisfied at 90, you want to go further, go on. God is saying the criteria be long life according to your satisfaction. He's wanting your faith. He's wanting you to believe. It's time for a new beginning. Hi there. Since the launch of the Gospel Partner Initiative, where I put my latest sermons on YouTube for free to reach more people who need to hear the gospel, we have seen such an overwhelming response from people all over the world. In the first 7 weeks alone, we have reached over 1.2 million views, impacting 139 countries with thousands of precious people, continuing to tune in every single week. I believe each view represents a life touched by the Lord. And I'm especially heartened by the many messages we have received from people who have written in to share how these messages have made a huge difference to them. To our partners, I want to thank you and appreciate you for your amazing support. Your partnership goes a long way, my friend, in helping us to advance the gospel by making more sermons and resources free for people who otherwise might not be able to receive them. Just read the comments below and know that you have been part of all the testimonies that we are receiving. Because of you, many lives are being transformed by the gospel. If you're not yet a partner, I would like to bless you with 1 month subscription completely free. You will get access up to 1,000 sermons that I have preached that will ground and grow you in the gospel of grace. God bless you, and let's make a real difference together. Head on over to gospelpartner.com to redeem your 3 month of subscription today. Greetings in the name of Christ. Beloved, I wish and I pray above all things that you and your families prosper and be in health, even as your souls prosper. You know, that's the desire and prayer of the Apostle John. At that point in time when he wrote that to Gaius, he was actually an elderly man. But he was the youngest of all the 12 disciples. So we would say that he would know exactly what the will of God is at this point of his life. And he says, beyond any contradiction, that God's desire for us above all things is that you prosper and be in health, even as your souls prosper. You know, in the Hebrew, the word for prosper is saleach. And you find, even, for example, Joseph, when he was a slave, the Bible says he was a prosperous man. Now, this has got nothing to do with outward manifestations of large economy or you've got a lot of finances in your life and your bank statements are all, you know, with many zeros at the end. It's nothing to do with that. It's got to do with the fact that his whole person, his whole persona before God is that of a man who is a prosperous person, spirit, soul, and body. In other words, God put that divine saleach, that whatever, you know, God meant by that, I want you to experience that in your life this year, that the Lord prosper you and your loved ones with that prosperity, that divine saleach. We find that time and time again, that word being used is used also in Psalms 1. The one who meditates on God's word day and night, the Bible says he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, not just growing, but planted. Guess who plants it? The Lord plants him. When you meditate on God's word, God will relocate you and make sure that you are planted by rivers of water. So if one river runs low, amen, there are other rivers that will flow. Praise God. Rivers of water. And you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf, that's a picture of your health. His leaf shall not wither. And whatever he does shall, saleach, shall prosper. That's the Hebrew word there, saleach. Whatever you do shall prosper. If you meditate on God's word, you love God's word, you meditate on God's word, the Bible says, whatever you do shall prosper. You know, promises like that, God doesn't exaggerate. Man can exaggerate, but God doesn't exaggerate. God's word, every word that God speaks is truth. His word is truth. Amen. That's what Jesus said in that high priestly prayer in John 17. Thy word is truth. Hallelujah. And he says also in that prayer, sanctify them, the believers. Believers in me, the Lord Jesus said, sanctify them through your truth or by your truth. Your word is truth. So the way God sanctifies us, and the word sanctify means set us apart from all this world's uncleanness, from all this world's sickness and disease, from all this world's darkness, is by His word. When you receive God's word, you are separated from all that is afflicting the world so that you can walk in this world and yet not be of the world. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So whatever God meant by that word, prosper, and that's what I wish for you and for your families. And then he goes on to say, and be in health. That prayer says, be in health. John prayed for all the people that received that letter, and that letter was inspired by the Spirit that God put it in the canon of Scripture. He says that you be in health. I'm praying for you above all things. Of anything that I can pray for you, above all of them, I desire for you that you prosper and be in health, even as your souls prosper. So with that idea, we look at the Scriptures today. We're going to continue our series on what we started last week, that the people that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede those that are asleep, but we who are alive and remain will be caught up together. So twice the Bible says there's a generation of people during the time when Jesus comes again who are alive and they remain. And we talk about the fact that it's one thing to be alive because you are young, but it's another thing to remain alive. That speaks of people who have received some revelation from the Lord. And you know that the Bible tells us that since the early church had all the truths. They had the Apostle Paul, one of the best apostles, and the Apostle Paul is responsible for 3/4 of the New Testament. And the Word of God was so abundant, the Bible says the word of the Lord grew and multiplied, and they had a full revelation. But somewhere along the way came the dark ages, and the church was separated from the Scripture. The common man cannot have access to the Scripture, and God would raise someone like Martin Luther and others during that time to restore back the Scriptures to the common man. People like Tyndale gave their lives to put the Scripture in the hands of common men. And now we have the Bible in every house. We thank God for the freedom that we have in our nations. For those of you who are watching, maybe some of you are watching from an area where you are being persecuted because of your faith. Well, take courage. The Lord is with you. Praise God. But nonetheless, God will make sure that you have access to the Word of God. Somehow, there are people who survive a whole year in persecution in some nations of the world, having only one page of the Bible. I remember reading about someone having just the first chapter of the Gospel of John, and they live for one whole year. The group of them would meet and discuss, and the revelations that God would give from that passage of the Scripture. It is amazing that the Word of God keeps on speaking to us. We might be familiar with some of the verses, but every time we come to it with a teachable heart, we are willing for God to teach us. Again, God will just uncover the Scriptures to us and give us seeing eyes and a hearing heart. Amen. And you know, these truths that we are sharing, I remember many years ago, I was just in my early 30s when the Lord began to uncover some of these truths that I'm sharing with you today about long life and divine health and renewal of youth. And I would say to the Lord then, I would say things like, you know, Lord, I'm still young. And at the time, I think I was just in my very early 30s. And I said to the Lord, there's plenty of time for me to teach this. In fact, Lord, if I can be an example of long life, healthy long life, it's not enough just to live long. I mean, what's the point of living long if your body is wrecked with sickness and disease, right? But God wants us to live long, just like Caleb, who said at the age of 85, I'm as strong this day. His strength was still there. God wants to give us a long, healthy life. Amen. Praise the Lord, where we can enjoy the goodness of God. Amen. So I said to the Lord, you know, why not I live long and then people will listen to me when I preach on this along these lines. And you know what the Lord said to me? The Lord says, no, the time to preach this and believe this is now when you are young. The time for the people to hear this is now. Because when the days come and you are much older in your years, some of them will not be around. They need these truths now. And that was many years ago now. I'll be turning 59 this year. And many years have come and gone. And I've trusted the Lord to keep me strong and healthy. Amen. And He has done that. And I'm continuing to believe God and keep on praying for me. Amen. Now you say, well, what was the point of having long life, Pastor Prince? What's the point of having a healthy life? You know, is it better to go and be with the Lord? Now, if that's your mentality, you know, I can just say that, what do you say to the Lord when you see Him face to face? And the Lord says, you have not finished your assignment. The Apostle Paul, before he was martyred, and like I said last week, the reason why he was martyred, he chose martyrdom. He had two choices before him. And he says that, I desire to be with Christ, which is far better. But, you know, to abide in my flesh, to stay in my body is more needful for you. So I guess I'll hang around for a while. So he chose. You know, many of us don't have that kind of choice. But God wants to bring all of us to that place where we can choose. Amen? So when you think about it, right, what's the point of having a long life? Because the only way you can be a blessing to the people around here is if you are here. Once you're in heaven, you cannot minister the gifts that God has put into you to them. You cannot bring them to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the older you are, with all the experiences and all the revelations that God has given you down through all the years and all that, with the experience that God has enriched you with, you have so much to give to the people today, to the generation today. Amen? As young people that are coming up today, they need to hear your voice. You know, we talk about the Joshua generation. God is raising the Joshua generation. I'm sure that you've heard that before. Okay, the Joshua generation is a generation that grew up in the wilderness, but they are not part of those that were under the judgment. And they came out of the wilderness into the promised land, and they were older men then. Okay, but they are the Joshua generation. But don't forget, Joshua generation was led by a man from the previous generation. At that time, he was pretty old in age. But he was still strong with his partner, Caleb, amen? And with all the leaders that grew up in that generation, they possessed the promised land. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, if we live long in our bodies, we can be a blessing to successive generations that come, depending on how long you live. Amen? You got something, you got a voice, you got a word. There's a message you can share with this current generation. But if you're not around, all the charismatas, all the favor, all the gifts, all the talents that God has put into you, all the anointing that God has placed on you to be a great blessing to this generation is lost. Amen. Many times people misunderstand that verse in the Bible in Psalms 116. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Now, this verse is not saying that the death of His saints is precious. It's something very precious. Death itself is precious. The death of His saints. It's not saying that. The word precious actually is the word costly. Like a costly jewelry. Right? A costly gem. Something costly. It is very costly in the eyes of God when one of His saints depart. Of course, that saint goes to be with Him. But it's very costly. Costly for what? In terms of all that God has put into that person, now it's lost. It's lost in the sense that the person has died. So when he dies, everything dies with him. Now, I'm talking about people who die before their time. We're talking about people who die before their time. Those who come to a place where, like a shock of corn, the Bible says, full of days like Jacob and all that. You know, he gathered all his sons around his bed. He laid hands on all of them and gave up the spirit. Hallelujah. He gave up the ghost, the Bible says. It just took off like that. Hallelujah. After blessing them. Now, that is something that God wants for all of us. Amen? Unless you are called to martyrdom. But for the rest of us, God wants us to believe Him now that we might live a long, good, healthy life. Amen? God says when you receive the wisdom of God, wisdom has two hands. And that's why in the book of Proverbs, it's personified like a woman. She has two hands. The Bible says, embrace her and you get both hands. Remember what the hands are? The Bible says, in her left hand are riches and honor. In her right hand is length of days. Amen. The Bible says embrace. And when you embrace wisdom, when you cherish the wisdom of God that is found in His Word, praise God. That's the only place that's found. When you receive God's wisdom and you embrace God's wisdom, her two hands embraces you. Amen. It's obvious that Solomon received the left hand, riches and honor, but he missed the right hand. Why? Because Solomon did not have the intercessor, amen, the go-between at the Father's right hand. He missed the right hand. But you and I, we are the Benjamin generation. We are the people that are saved after Solomon, praise the Lord, through Jesus Christ. And now we have an intercessor, a high priest at the Father's right hand. Job longed to have someone there, an intercessor, a go-between between him and God. He longed for it. Well, his longing, his prayer is our fulfillment, our reality. Amen. So Solomon got the left side, the left hand, the blessings of the wisdom, riches and honor. He received that, but he missed on the right hand, the length of days. He didn't live long, okay? But God wants you to live long. Amen. That's why the Bible says things like, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And this is the first commandment. We've promised that things will go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So if living long on the earth is not a blessing from God, why did God tell us that if you will fulfill this commandment of honoring your parents, things will go well with you and you will live long? Amen. Obviously, it is a promise. Live long where? On this earth. Amen. So we saw last week that Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And there are those who will say, well, come to a certain age, you know, you just, it's time for you to go. Well, I beg to differ. The Bible actually tells us, the book of wisdom, amen? The wisdom of God in the book of Proverbs tells us things like, some things you do will prolong your days. Some things you do will cut off your days. The Bible didn't say that there's an appointed time for man to die. It does not say that. It says it's appointed for man to die once. And even then, the context there is a general statement. It is appointed for man to die once. But there is a generation that will not die. Those who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, the Bible says, we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Our bodies will be instantly transformed into a glorious body, like His body, a body that will never grow old, never become sick again. Amen. A body that's perpetually young, perpetually strong, forever. And forever is a long time, my friend. It's a long time. Make sure that what you're listening, amen, propagates your life. Hallelujah. It's something that God wants you to have and to cherish. Not something like, well, you know, God wants me to live long, I'll live long. Imagine someone who is a sinner saying that, you know, if God wants to save me, God will save me. I'll leave it to God. You know, I believe in God, but if you tell me that only through Jesus I can be saved, well, He wants to save me, He saved me. Imagine that kind of attitude. Nobody can receive salvation with that kind of attitude. Why? Because God respects your free choice. You need to hear the word and you need to believe on it. You need to receive it actively. No one can shove any of God's gifts into your hands. God respects your free choice. Amen. You have to believe. You have to believe. And you have to believe the things that are being shared. As long as you see it in God's word, amen. You know it's in God's word. The Bible says God even gives you the faith from hearing God's word to receive what His word promises. So today we look at this verse. Costly is in the eyes of the Lord at the death of His saints. It cost Him. It cost Him. That believer was cut off before his time. And it's a waste, because everything that God puts in him, now if he dies before, I'm talking about dying before his their time. Amen. The context there, if you look carefully, David was saying, God, you delivered my soul from death. Look at the same psalm where you find this precious in the sight of the Lord, death of His saints. Earlier verse says, for you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Amen. So David is saying, I could have died, but Lord, you delivered me. Why? Then later on in the same psalm, he says, because it's very costly to you if your saints die. Amen. It's very costly. God wants you to prosper, my friend, and be in health, even as your souls prosper. And we covered also last week, we talked about it, that at the cross, our Lord Jesus bore our diseases and carried our pains. That's why, you look at all the offerings that Jesus is a fulfillment of, Jesus on the cross, the five offerings in Leviticus, there's only one that is bloodless. It's a flour offering, and that's the meal offering. But you have the burnt offering, which is a picture of Jesus on the cross, as well as sin and trespass offering, as well as the peace offering. All this speaks of Jesus on the cross, whereas the meal offering speaks of his life on earth, his perfect life. Amen. The fine flour there speaks of his characteristics, his attributes. No characteristic preponderates. Everything is perfect, you know, in perfect in its place. Nothing exaggerates. Everything is in its equanimity. Jesus is altogether lovely. But the other four offerings, the burnt offering, the peace offering, shalomim in the Hebrew, which is the word shalom, wholeness. Amen. The word peace there is actually the word wholeness offering. And then there's a sin offering and the trespass offering. All this speaks of Jesus at the cross. So in those days, they'll bring the lamb to the bronze altar and they will kill the lamb there. It's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. But they don't persecute the lamb. They do not torture the lamb before the lamb's death. Before Jesus was put on the cross, he was scourged. He was tortured. For what purpose? All the lambs and the goats and the ox and the bullock, even in times past, they typified Jesus. But when they were offered, they were killed immediately. They were not tortured before they were killed. Our Lord Jesus was tortured. He was scourged before he hung on that cross. Why? Well, the Bible says, with his stripes, we are healed. Amen. So it's not just Jesus bearing our sins on that cross, my friend. God wanted us free from sickness and disease. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's your portion. Every time you take the communion, discern the body and receive your healing. You might say, well, Pastor Prince, I've been taking communion for so many years now and I'm still believing God for my health. My friend, it might seem in the natural, you're not getting better. It might seem in the natural, but you're still alive. You are still kicking. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes it may seem to get worse in the manifestation before it gets better. Hallelujah. And perhaps you're going through that. Or perhaps you're also going through a stage whereby you will be a trophy of His grace, that you will come to a place of complete healing and you will turn around and encourage all those who have not yet received the manifestation of their healing. And the Lord allows you to go through some time. So for you, you are not among those that receive accelerated healing. Amen. Those who receive some of them instantaneous, as we have shared so many times during our testimony time. And as well as also in our church, we have seen people, when we pray for them, there have been those who stood up straight away because they are healed immediately. Amen. But if you're numbered among those whose manifestations seem to come so slow, you know something? God is honoring you with a testimony, with a ministry in the future. Your healing is coming. It's manifesting. It's going to be 30-fold. When it's 30-fold, you still have the 70-fold. A lot of it is not yet healed. Amen. Then comes the 60-fold. Now you're in the majority. Amen. A lot of your body functions and all that is getting healthier and stronger. Then completely, there's 100-fold. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Your 100-fold is coming. And if it's slow, it's because God has a ministry and God has a purpose for you that you will testify and you will be a trophy of His grace and you will testify of His goodness, especially in the area of healing. Amen. And God wants this message to go out because we have heard for so long that Jesus saves. Amen. But it's time for us also to hear that Jesus heals, Jesus delivers, Jesus gives long life. Amen. Jesus renews your youth. Praise the Lord. Jesus makes you strong. Amen. It's the full message. We call it the full gospel. All right. If that is so, but even the full gospel does not cover some of these things, only the healing. But let's go for the fullness of the gospel. Everywhere Jesus went, the Bible says he preached the gospel, healing every sickness and every disease. When Paul preached the gospel, there's a manifestation of healing in his preaching. When Peter preached, Peter's shadow even, the shadow passing by those who are sick, the shadow of Peter would heal the sick. We know it's not the shadow. The shadow itself is nothing. But God will allow some signs and wonders to show that His will for His people is that they be well, that they be whole, that they be strong. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, people say that the Bible only promised 70 years to 80 years. And by that, they are saying from Psalms 90, it says the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. But then we showed you clearly that this verse is taken out of its context. This is not God's will for His people. Why? Because this is the experience of the people in the wilderness when they were under God's judgment. Look at the verse before that. Context is important, my friend. It talks about, all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. Even you read all the background of this psalm, the Psalm of Moses, it talks about the people of Israel when they were in the wilderness. They were under God's wrath. Why? Because they didn't believe God. Remember that? They didn't believe Joshua and Caleb when they came back with the good news and the good report. They believed the evil report of the 10 spies. And as a result, God was angry with them. God swore that they will not enter my rest. And they wandered for 40 years. Okay, so they were under God's wrath. Look at the verse after this, even for context. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. But my friend, you and I, we are not under God's wrath. We are under God's favor. Your families are under God's favor. God has sworn He will never be angry with you in Isaiah 54, that comes right after Isaiah 53 that talks about Jesus' work at the cross. In Isaiah 54, because of Jesus' work, I swear I will never be angry with you again. So every time you look at the rainbow, this is as the waters of Noah. As I swore to Noah that the waters will never flood the earth again, so I swear to you, I will never be angry with you, nor rebuke or condemn you, saith the Lord. Amen. Receive that. Have the assurance your Father in heaven loves you. Even when you do wrong, there is correction. Or He will correct you with His word. And sometimes through some circumstances that will frustrate you as long as you go on that path. But He will never use sickness or disease to correct you. He will never do that. He will never use car accidents and bad people coming to harm you. He will never use all those things to correct you. He will correct you first and foremost with His word. But many people who need correction, true believers who have backslidden, who have left the church, right? When they are corrected and they're not spending time in the Word, how do you think God corrects them? Well, God corrects them with circumstances. Amen. Frustrating sometimes, but it will bring them back to the Lord. They will know that there's no refuge, there is no fulfillment for them out there in the world. Just like the prodigal son found that out. Amen. Only when he came home, he found true love. He found that more than enough, my Father's house has bread enough and to spare. Everything was in the Father's house. But we don't live in Psalms 90, my friend. This is Psalms 90. If you look at the next psalm, it's a Psalm 91. Psalms 91 verse 16 says, with long life, I will satisfy him. With what? Long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Here we see the purpose for the long life, right? That we may see Jesus more and more and more and more. Just like Simeon. Remember Simeon when baby Jesus was to be dedicated at the temple and Joseph and Mary brought baby Jesus. But the Bible says that there was an elderly man by the name of Simeon, and he was very elderly. And the Bible says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for Jesus to appear because the Holy Spirit showed him that he will not see death until he see Jesus, the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. So he was there. He was brought there by the Holy Spirit because he knew that Jesus was born. And when Joseph and Mary came in, he took the baby in his hands. And this is what old Simon prayed. He said, Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation, literally your Yeshua, your Jesus. Now let me depart in peace. He said, let me depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. I believe it's a type of the second coming of Christ. That was the first coming, right? In the second coming of Christ, there'll be a generation of believers. The Holy Spirit is saying to them that you will not see death until you see Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we don't live under Psalms 90, where our days are only 70 to 80 years, we live under Psalms 91. Amen. With long life, God satisfies you and shows you His salvation. How I know that this is a new covenant psalm? Because in the very first verse, it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now, back then, it was a secret place. What is this secret place of the Most High? Today, it's revealed. Amen. What was hidden in the old is now open in the new. Praise God. And in the new covenant, we know that every believer is hid in Christ. The secret place is actually the Messiah. The secret place is our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are all hidden in Christ, who is the secret place of the Most High. Amen. The promise for every believer who are in Christ. The Bible says you are under the shadow, under the protection of the Almighty. And the Almighty here is Shaddai. And then this promise, this entire psalm ends with long life. God satisfies you. Amen. Praise God. Now, we have covered Psalms 90. Now we cover Psalms 91. Let's go to Psalms 92. And God is saying, not only long life will I satisfy you with long life, but the quality of your long life will be like this. And it's found in Psalms 92, the following Psalms. And it says here in Psalms 92, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright." The reason they shall be fresh and flourishing is to declare a testimony that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. So we see that God wants to satisfy us with long life. Now, by the way, if it says with long life, will I satisfy Him? Notice there's no age mentioned there. The only criteria is your satisfaction. With long life, will I satisfy Him? So if you're not satisfied at 90, you want to go further, go on. God is saying the criteria will be long life according to your satisfaction. If you're satisfied with life at 100 and you say it's time to go, then you can talk to the Lord about it. Amen. But the criteria in the new covenant, God says, with long life, will I satisfy you? Amen. Be satisfied with your life. And then you can decide to go. If Jesus tarries, I believe that He's coming soon. Amen. And we are the rapture generation. I really believe that. Okay, so Psalms 91 talks about believers who are in Christ. Psalms 92 tells us the quality of that long life. God says here, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." Of course, we have a spiritual application for all this. The palm tree is an evergreen, a coniferous tree. It's evergreen and it's a very fruitful tree. It produces an abundance of fruits. Literally, amen, a lot of fruits. And of course, we apply this spiritually first. In other words, you'll be fruitful even in your old age. You'll be fruitful even in your old age. You know, there is a principle in Scripture. First the natural, then the spiritual. And that's why every time God did something for even natural Israel today, right? You find that if something good on Israel, something good happens to the church of Jesus Christ. First the natural, then the spiritual Israel. First the natural, then the spiritual. So you have first the natural. If when they won the war in 1967, the Six-Day War, what happened? Well, it launched forth the charismatic move. Amen. The Holy Spirit was poured out all over the world. When they came back as a nation in 1948, it launched forth the voice of healing, revival. Healing was being proclaimed all over this earth. Praise the Lord. And it seems back then, it was so easy to be healed. People are getting healed all over the place. And it seems like the flow of healing was so stupendous that people were just getting healed right in their seats. And it was easy to be healed in those days. Amen. So every time something good happens to Israel, first the natural, then the spiritual. First the natural, then the spiritual. Same thing applies. You know something? In last year, there's this report in the Straits Times, Singapore's local newspaper. "Mad," inverted commas, "Israeli quest to revive ancient dates bears fruit." Amen. Look at this fine print down there. "Dates harvested from Hana, the first female palm tree germinated from 2,000-year-old seeds discovered in the Judean desert." What happened was this. They found seeds that was in Masada and some seeds also in Qumran, the area of Qumran near the Dead Sea. And these seeds are about 2,000 years old. And what they tried to do is that one of the scientists there actually said, it was a lady, she believed that it can still sprout. And of course, some people say they are mad. That's why the inverted commas, mad scientists. But you know what they did? They experimented. Well, the one that's from the Masada did not bear fruit because it was a male tree, all right? It's a male seed. They call it Methuselah. 2,000-year-old seed. So it grew, but it cannot bear seed because it is a male tree. And then came Hannah, all right? Now, this seed came from the Qumran cave. And when it came up, all right, this seed, what they did was that, because it's a female tree now, they pollinated the flowers. And now, according to this report, okay, it's bearing fruit. Hallelujah. In our generation, just last year, it bore fruit. And they have tasted the fruit. In fact, they had a ritual where they tithe the harvest. And this is from a 2,000-year-old tree. And I find it very interesting that the male tree is called Methuselah. Methuselah is the longest living man on earth. And it happened during the flood. And the Bible says, once again, all right, Noah's flood, the idea of the kind of thing is before us. Okay? So Methuselah, it lived long just before the flood, before the judgment came. We are the generation that live before the judgment that would come after the rapture. Then we have Hannah. Now, what is Hannah? What's the meaning of the name Hannah? Hannah means grace, right? Grace. So there's no fruitfulness, just living long, having that blessing. There's no fruitfulness until it meets grace. Hallelujah. Grace always brings the fruitfulness. Praise the Lord. Hannah means grace. Hallelujah. And what is true for them? Why is this happening in Israel? God is saying to us, because you are next. I'm going to make you fruitful like the palm tree, even in your old age. Hallelujah. Amen. You will bear fruit. You know the palm tree? It's a stately tree and very fruitful. Every part of the tree is utilized. The trunk, the leaves, the branch. They use it for ropes. They use it for fence. They use it to make baskets. And even the juice of the tree is used. The palm dates. And date is a very healthy fruit. Amen. Take some dates. You will enjoy the blessings that come with date fruits. You know, today we have all kinds of diet, and people are saying, you know, you do this diet and you'll be healthy. And I tried some of the diet thing, and it always like a new diet will come up that contradicts this diet. One diet says eat meat only and don't eat vegetables and all that. Another diet comes says that no, meat is dangerous and have the Mediterranean diet, and there's a low-carb diet, there's a gluten-free diet, there is a Mediterranean diet, there's a paleo diet, there's ketogenic diet, all kinds of diet. You'll get confused. Amen. The best diet, go with the Word of God. Whatever God says to eat, right, you can eat. Enjoy that. Amen. God knows what He has created, and He created your body as well. Praise the Lord.
Hi, I'm Joseph Prince, and I'll be your personal guide, helping you discover the land of Israel. There's just something about being in Israel, the promised land, the land of the Bible, the very land our Lord Himself walked. With my new book, Expedition Promised Land, Walk Where Jesus Walked, I want to bring you on an adventure with me to discover the beautiful land of Israel and unpack the scriptures for you as if I was your personal guide. Filled with stunning photographs, page after page, and breathtaking video footage, this book will help you visualize what it'll be like to be at many different locations around Israel. My team and I have also included helpful maps, diagrams, illustrations, and Bible timelines. These visual aids will give you a better understanding of the historical and spiritual significance of the sites. You also find additional teaching content where I preach live at iconic locations in Israel that you can access for free via the QR codes throughout this book. This is indeed my most ambitious publishing project to date. Whether you are planning a trip to Israel or just want to take this journey from the comfort of your couch, I wrote this book with you in mind. I really believe your life will be changed as you encounter your Savior afresh in the Promised Land, and as you catch a greater revelation of all He accomplished for you at the cross.
Joseph Prince's latest book, Expedition Promised Land, Walk Where Jesus Walked, is now available. Get your copy today.
Hallelujah. So the palm tree grows on barren soil. Barren soil. But the roots go so deep down and it will find water and brings up the nourishment right into the tree itself. Amen. So regardless of your background, you know, you don't have to be in a fresh countryside living there to live long. I know some people believe that. Amen. And it's true to a great extent for the natural process. But I'm talking about God's way. God is saying, regardless of your background, regardless of where you are growing from, amen, the palm tree grows on barren soil, almost like desert, but the roots go down deep. Okay, the next one is, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Here's a picture of a cedar in Lebanon. And the Bible says, even in the Song of Songs about our Lord Jesus, the description of our Lord Jesus there, it says that his appearance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. Look at the cedar. It's like a man, a stately man, a majestic man, a noble man, a prince of a man. Our Lord Jesus, stately. Now, contrary to the palm tree, the cedar grows in the mountains, not in barren soil. But the danger up there in the mountains are the mountain snow and mountain strong winds and storm. So what the cedar does is that up in the mountains, it sends its roots down and it's founded on solid rock. And there are rocks all over Lebanon mountains, and it will go down deep and it will be embedded, the roots will be embedded on a rock. Isn't that a picture of our Lord Jesus, the rock of ages? And you and I are planted and grounded in Him. Amen? So regardless of our surrounding, whether we are being attacked by different kinds of winds and storms, or whether we are in barren soil, our environment is such that it is not conducive for health. We feel like we're in a place that I'd rather be in a different country, where I'm in the mountainside or by the beach. You know, friend, it is not this. When God's blessing is on you, it is on you. Whether you are like a palm tree planted on barren soil, or like the cedars of Lebanon, you know, being afflicted by the winds and the storm, you stay green. You stay strong and healthy. Hallelujah. The cedar is a tree that is almost incorruptible. They have found 2,000-year-old cedars from ancient temples. They use cedars. And the Temple of Solomon, by the way, they use cedar tree. Amen. All over the temple, the Bible says no stone can be seen. It's all cedar. It's a picture of our bodies, isn't it? You and I. The Bible says, know you not, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And the temple of God there, look at the temple of God, the temple of Solomon. Amen. The temple of God, our bodies will be like cedar. The cedar tree is almost incorruptible. And no worms will destroy cedar. That's why they sell this little piece of cedar woods and all that you can put among your clothes and all that, and no moth will come. No worms dare come near the cedar. And yet it gives off a fragrant smell. Amen. Gives us a fragrant smell. Our Lord Jesus is altogether beautiful. His appearance is like Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. And He is fragrant. Every thought, every word, every deed of our Lord Jesus emits a fragrance that the Father, the Bible talks about it in Leviticus 2, where the fragrance is like frankincense to God the Father. Every thought of our Lord Jesus, every word, every deed, every action emits a fragrance. Amen. In Leviticus 2, the meal offering, when it's burned, when people persecute our Lord Jesus, who is the flour offering, the bread of life, the picture there, what comes out of Him is, again, fragrance of frankincense. When we are pressured, you know, all kinds of things come out of us, but our Lord Jesus is altogether lovely, and you are becoming more and more like Him. The more you behold Him, you are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Amen. So the Bible says that those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. My friend, another important thing to remember from all this passage, keep these verses in context, is that the Bible says you need to be planted in the house of the Lord. Not a roving person, you know. Once you are in this church, then you are in that church, you are in that church, you are in this church, you are a rolling stone that gathers no moss. No, God wants you to be planted. Say planted. Planted where? In the house of the Lord. Find a church that you can say, this is home. Amen. And be planted in that church. Praise the Lord. In our generation especially, you might say, well, you know, my TV or my laptop is my church, you know, and that's where I receive all this message. And the idea here is very clear. God is talking about the house of the Lord today. Amen. Today, where's the house of the Lord? It's a church. And you can say, I belong to the universal church. My friend, when you marry, how do you get the universal pastor to marry you? When you die, who is the universal pastor that will bury you? No, you need a local church. Jesus spoke a message specific to the seven churches. And these are local churches. Or else one message would suffice for the entire seven churches. No, each church had a specific message from the Lord. So the Lord created local churches. It's a practical expression of the universal church. Amen. Be planted in one. God says when you are planted in one, you will flourish where? Outside. The courts of our God is outside. So God says, if you are planted in the house, you will prosper, you will flourish outside. And the context here as well, flourish in your health, in your longevity, outside. A study was done a number of years ago. I remember cutting that piece of paper, but I've lost that paper since then. And the study showed that people who live long, not done by Christians, I forgot which poll was it, but they said that people who go to church regularly are people who live long in America. And they had the statistics to show. Friend, you don't need any poll to tell you that. The Bible says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Amen? The Bible goes on to say, they shall still bear fruit in old age. You know something about the palm tree? The palm tree keeps on bearing fruit. Even at 70 years old, 80 years old, it keeps on bearing fruit. You know what's the age the palm tree dies? Around what age? 200 years. When God likens us, the righteous, like the palm tree, don't just take it spiritual. Spiritual is the foremost interpretation of all these passages. But I've shared the spiritual. But friend, don't rob yourself of the physical, or else God won't use the palm tree, which is literal in its renewal of youth and longevity as well. And cedar trees, you know how long they live? They have found cedar trees in Lebanon. Now there's very few cedars of Lebanon left in Lebanon itself. There's a place you can go down there. They call them the cedars of God. The locals call them the cedars of God. The oldest is about 1,000 years old. But they're all the descendants of the ones that were used to build the Temple of Solomon. God wants you to live long and to live strong and to live healthy for His glory. Don't forget, all this strength that God gives you is to serve Him by. Amen? It's not for us to, you know, use it for our life, make money for ourselves. No, no, friend. All these things is for you to serve the Lord with. There's something Jesus said that's very important. Jesus said it like this. If you try to save your life, you try to gain everything for yourself. You try to save your life. No, I have no time for church. I have no time to do this for the Lord. I have no time to attend that meeting. I have no time for all that. You know, and I have no time to serve the Lord. You're trying to save your life, trying to save time for yourself. You're trying to save convenience for yourself. Whatever it is, if it's for yourself, the Lord says, he that saves his life shall lose it. But he that loses his life, he loses his time. It seems like he's losing his energy. It seems like he's going because he served the Lord, he's losing that precious time and space that he could use elsewhere for himself, for his own benefit, or to make money, right? But because he's losing his life for my sake, he will find it. Hallelujah. Amen. So every time you think of sparing yourself, don't spare yourself. The more you are spent for the Lord, make sure it's for the Lord, amen, you will thrive. The Lord never takes anything. Jesus himself says, whatever you give up for me, you will receive 100-fold now in this life. Hey. So the Bible says you'll be flourishing. And this is what the Bible says here. The word here is, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Now, fresh, the word fresh there in the Hebrew is literally the word fat. Fat, well-nourished, full of sap. This tree is full of sap, full of nourishment. And the word flourishing here literally is the Hebrew for green. When you talk about the color green, it is the word ra'anan. And here literally, they shall be fat and green. How about that? How about that as a testimony? Not fat the way you think of it, amen? But full of nourishment, full of vitality and life and evergreen. I want you to stay strong, stay young, stay healthy until Jesus comes again. Praise the Lord. I just want to share with you a prophetic word. I felt that the Lord gave me this word for some of you, and you're approaching what you feel like, wow, I never expected that this age will come so fast. You know, like I said, I'm now in a few months' time, I'm going to be 59 years old, okay? I trust that God will keep me strong according to all these truths that I'm sharing. Praise the Lord, by His grace. Amen. But there are those of you who are approaching 70 or approaching 80. The Lord gave me a story from the life of David that I think will encourage you and bless you. Now, before I show you the passage, remember when you look at the life of David, he's a type of Jesus. Jesus is known as the greatest son of David. That's why when Jesus was here, they would call him sometimes, they would address him as son of David. Amen. So when you look at the life of David, not his sins, of course, amen, but in those things that are his victories, where you see his good characteristics and all that, and his life in its entirety, you will see our Lord Jesus. For example, when he was in the cave Adullam, the Bible says, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was in distress, everyone who was discontented, they came to David. The 3D army, everyone in distress, in debt, discontented. And later on, the Bible tells us that they became the mighty men of David. You know, think about pastoring a church with people full of debts and they are distressed all the time and they are discontented. That means they are complaining most of the time. And yet, by God's grace, they became the mighty men of David. Why? Because David was their leader. David was their leader. So there's a picture of Matthew 11, where Jesus, the greatest son of David, says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And look at your life now. You have become a mighty man of David. But never forget where you came from. Never forget what you were. It is by the grace of God that you are what you are today. Amen. So when you look at the life of David in his rejection, remember when Saul was persecuting him and he had to wander around in caves and running away from Saul. And yet all the time, his men could have destroyed Saul and all of Saul's soldiers. But yet he did not. He always addressed Saul as the Lord's anointed. Now here's a picture of our Lord Jesus during the time when he's rejected. These 2,000 years, he's been rejected. That's the reason why he's away, because earth does not want him. The Bible says he came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. That's you and I. But basically, the Israel rejected him. The Gentile world rejected him as well. The Romans put him on the cross. Okay, so he's rejected. But those who follow him in his rejection, Jesus said, "You are those who continued with me in all my testings." In other words, my time of rejection. "You shall sit with me on my throne, judging." Amen? That's your future, the Bible says. So here, we have David, before he became king, before he was crowned king. He's king already, but anointed king, but not crowned king yet. So it's a picture of our Lord Jesus. He's not crowned king yet on this earth. He will one day, but during this time of rejection, we are following him. As many as follow him, the Lord will remember this time. And another time when he was rejected was by his own son, Absalom, when Absalom usurped the throne and David didn't want to kill Absalom and he left. And what a rejection, especially from a family, member, from a loved one, your own son. And David wondered again. And during this time, there was a man, there were different people that came to assist David with food and supplies. And they brought beds and cheese and bread to David and his men. And one of them was a man called Barzillai. Now, Barzillai was a Gileadite. He's not a Jewish person, all right? He's not a part of Israel, but he was a Gileadite from the area of Jordan today. And he brought supplies for David. He was a wealthy man, the Bible says. And he brought all these things to David when David was fleeing from Absalom. So, you know the story. Later on, Absalom died. God turned the whole thing around and brought David back again to Jerusalem. On his way to Jerusalem, Barzillai came again. Let's look at the story here. And Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogalim and went across the Jordan with the king to escort him across the Jordan. Now, Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old. Now, think about it. He was 80 years old. But don't forget, Joshua 14, what did Caleb say over there? Caleb said, "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive." This is Caleb talking to Joshua. And he says, "These 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in." My friend, here Caleb is telling Joshua, "I'm now 85 years old. And today I'm as strong as I was the day that Moses sent me." That was 45 years ago. And he's not exaggerating. He says, "I'm as strong this day." And my friend, it's not just spiritual strength. He's talking about physical strength. Why? He elucidates it. He says, "My strength as it was then, so is my strength now for war." And those are physical enemies. And later on, he would fight the Anakims from the Hebron hill and take over Hebron. I mean, this 85-year-old man still fought at his age against giants. The Anakims were giants, and he won over them. Amazing. So his strength for war, his physical strength. But here, there's something about Barzillai. Barzillai was only 80, not 85. And this is what Barzillai says. So he was a very aged man, 80 years old, and he had provided the king with supplies while he stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very rich man. And the king said to Barzillai, "Come across with me, and I will provide for you while you're with me in Jerusalem." So David told Barzillai, "You took care of me all this time. I won't forget that. Now, come across with me." Come across what? Jordan. "Cross over Jordan and go with me to Jerusalem. And I will provide for you. I'll take care of you all the days of your life." Now, I counted the number of times the word "go over," "cross over," basically over Jordan. In other words, make your decision today. Cross over. Amen. Go over. So I counted the times that "cross over," "come over," "go over" was used here. It's about 8 times. It's time for a new beginning. Amen. Barzillai, come over. I know you're 80 years old, but come over with me to where I am. Barzillai said to the king, "How long have I to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am today 80 years old. Can I discern between the good and the bad?" Now, you're about to hear a long list of his complaints about his age. Now, you don't find that language in Caleb. Caleb says, "I'm as strong this day at 85 years old," right? And Caleb was 85 when he said that, "My strength for war." And 85, he went to fight against the Anakims. But here, Barzillai is saying, "I am today 80 years old. Can I discern between the good and the bad? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink?" Talking about himself. "Can I hear any longer the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be a further burden to my lord the king?" Now, Barzillai is a great man. He's a generous man, and he loved David. And David will never forget that. And he says, "But David, I can't go with you because I'll be a burden to you." Now, think about it. Sometimes we think that way about our greater David, our Lord Jesus. We think that when we bring our prayers or our requests to Him, we are a burden to Him. My friend, nothing can be further from God's heart. You know, God finds joy in you coming to Him. In fact, the ending of Song of Songs, the beloved who is the Lord Himself speaking to His bride, amen, speaking to the woman, which is the church, you and I. You know what He says? Let me hear your voice. It's the last few lines of the entire Song of Songs. Let me hear your voice. The companions, your companions have heard your voice. Let me hear your voice. Your voice is precious. The Lord wants to hear your voice. Like your friends hear your voice, He's saying, let me hear your voice. Friend, every time you come to God, He delights in it. In fact, another place in Song of Songs, it says, let me see your face. Let me see your countenance. Let me hear your voice. Now, you know, like my son, Justin, you know, he would talk to me sometimes from around the corner, but I don't want that. I can hear his voice, but it's not just a voice. I want to see his face. So come before the Lord. The Lord delights to see your face. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. Both your appearance before Him and your voice is so precious to Him. You might think, I must pray correctly and all that. No, my friend, the very fact that you speak to Him is precious. You're not a burden to Him. You see, my friend, somewhere along the way, Barzillai, even though he loved David, he did the right thing, but he never wanted to go all the way to be with David where he is. And some Christians, you know, as long as they are safe, you know, they feel like, I'll never go to hell. I'm born again. My sins are forgiven. It's sufficient. They're not willing to be a lover of David, to be a lover of our Lord Jesus. They're not willing to go with Jesus all the way, to be where He is. And He is at the Father's right hand right now. Our joy is to live there with Him in the heavenlies. Praise God. To enjoy all that He is right now, where He's at. Amen. Don't just be satisfied to live an earthly life and do things by human wisdom and fleshly self-effort. Amen. The Lord wants you to live the heavenly life. Go all the way to Him, to His Jerusalem, where our greater David is. Amen. And as He is, so are we in this world. But somewhere along the way, I think Barzillai's love for David got a little bit cold. He didn't go all the way. Just like Jonathan. Jonathan loved David. In fact, they made a covenant and he suffered for David's sake. Even though he was a prince, he was the heir to the throne, not David. Naturally speaking, he was the son of Saul. He's the heir to the throne. But he loved David. He honored David. He knew that God had anointed David to be king. And he says to David, I'll be with you. But you know something? When David was rejected and being persecuted and hunted down, all the men suffered with David. And there were some of them who were Gentiles, like Ittai and others. They followed David in his persecution, in his rejection. Where was Jonathan? He was in the palace. So even though he loved David, there are those who love the Lord from a distance. They will say things like, well, you know, let's not go all the way. No, my friend, go all the way. That's where the greatest blessings are. That's where the richest anointing is. That's where the fatness and the flourishing is, my friend. Hallelujah. Amen. And as a result, Jonathan died when his father died. He was at the wrong place at the wrong time when he should have been with David. All the men that were with David, they were alive to see David crowned. They were with David. And in a sense, they reigned with David. They were given positions of authority when David became king. They became the mighty men of David. Jonathan should have been there. Alas, that's true for people who sit on the fence. They have a true love for our heavenly David, but not all the way. So here we have David saying to Barzillai, come with me. Come with me all the way to Jerusalem. And he starts giving excuse about his age. And that's what the Lord is saying. He gave me this passage to give to you, to tell you, don't give excuses about your age. Don't say things in the natural, I'm at this age and all that. You know, I don't have much longer to live and what can I do? I can't hear singing, my ears getting bad, my eyesight getting bad. And you see, older people, right? They are complaining all the time, some of them. I'm not talking about all of them. Some of them, you see, generally, many of them are complaining. No, that's not good, my friend. The Bible says a merry heart does good like medicine. Amen? So the more cheerful you are, rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Think of God's word and His promises and what God has promised you. Be rejoicing in the Lord. It's like medicine. Amen. The next line actually says, but a broken spirit dries the bones. You don't want osteoporosis, okay? You don't want your bones to be brittle. Amen. But if the opposite of a merry heart is sorrow of the heart. Amen. Depression. It breaks the bone. It dries the bones. So David says, come over. I'll take care of you. And he starts giving excuses. Barzillai saying, your servant will go a little way across the Jordan with the king. And why should the king repay me with such a reward? Please let your servant turn back again, that I may die in my own city near the grave of my father and mother. You can see the language is not like Caleb, who was 85. But here is your servant, Chimham. Now he introduced his son. His son is Chimham. Let him cross over with my lord, the king, and do for him what seems good to you. And the king answered, Chimham shall cross over with me, and I will do for him what seems good to you. Now, whatever you request of me, I will do for you. Then all the people went over the Jordan, being numbered among those who are prepared to go over the Jordan. And when the king had crossed over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his own place. So I believe that God is prophetically saying to you, yes, you're coming to this age, but I want to ask you this question. Are you prepared to go all the way with me? Cross over your Jordan. Cross over to my side. I know you are 80. Perhaps you are 70. Perhaps you are 60, coming to 60 like me. All right? But God is saying, are you prepared to cross over? Cross over and be with me. Are you prepared? I'll take care of you. What does that mean? I'll make you fat and flourishing. Amen. I'll make you like the palm tree and like the cedar in Lebanon. But are you prepared to cross over? Cross over the Jordan always have this idea of death to self. Amen. That's what happened. The death to your all that you are in the natural. But then you come out of Jordan in the resurrected life of Christ. Amen. A new creation in Christ. Praise the Lord. Someone who is one with Jesus. In other words, you're going all the way with Him. Now, I know spiritually that's happened to all of us, but God's talking about practically, He wants us to experience this. So God is saying, are you going to give excuses or are you prepared to cross over? Are you willing to come over, cross over this Jordan and come with me all the way to Jerusalem? And there, I will provide for you. He didn't tell Barzillai, I know you're going back, and there in your home, I'll provide for you. No, he didn't say that. He says, there, I'll provide for you. Make sure you are there where all His provisions are. Amen? Being with Him. Praise the Lord. It said, Barzillai went off, but he gave his son. He said that, my son will go with you, Chimham. Take care of him. You know what? Just a little side note. You know what David did for Chimham? If you read carefully, his name appears again, Chimham. He appears again in Jeremiah. And over there, you find a story of a man called Johanan. He killed some people and he took some men and he was fleeing away. And he came to an inn or a lodging place, literally. And let me read that passage to you. And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is near Bethlehem, as they went on their way to Egypt. This habitation of Chimham, in some other translation, it says Gerut Chimham. Gerut Chimham. Gerut literally is a lodging place. It's not a house. It's a lodging place. It's an inn, a caravanserai. You know, when they travel long journeys in those days by camel or donkey, they stop by a caravanserai, a stopover. Amen. It's like today you have your rest stops, right? It's a caravanserai. And where is it? In Bethlehem. I believe that David gave his own house, the house that he grew up in, and that house came from his father, Jesse, who inherited from his father, Obed, who inherited from Boaz and Ruth. Where was Boaz when the story opens up? He was in Bethlehem. So I believe that house is Boaz and Ruth's house, given to Obed, their son, given to the grandson, Jesse, given to the great-grandson, David. And David grew up in that house, same house. But later on, David became king in Jerusalem. And I believe he gave this house to Chimham. It's pronounced as Chimham, actually, in Hebrew. So Chimham has this place that's an inheritance from David. And he turned it into an inn in Bethlehem. Many years after, there'll be a man with a wife that's pregnant and she's about to deliver, coming to Bethlehem. Actually, this baby that's about to be born, he's the true heir of all that David has. This boy has come home, literally to his physical home. But there was no room for them in the inn in Bethlehem. I just thought that you might enjoy that little footnote. Praise God. But what is God saying to you today? He's wanting your faith. He's wanting you to believe. He's wanting you to take that step of faith where you're crossing over Jordan, death to all yourself of like living for myself. You know, I want to make fame and fortune using the Lord's name. No, that's not God's way. Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to give up? Are you willing to lose your life for His sake? You're not going to lose them permanently. For in so doing, you shall find your life. You'll find true life. Hallelujah. I like the Amplified translation of that. It says, he that loses his low life for my sake shall find the high life. Hallelujah. You're going to find the high life in Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. So if that is you, you want to pray this prayer with me right now. It's a step of faith. It's not about being better or being good in your behavior or in your good works and all that. It's a matter of believing God. That's the greatest good you can do towards God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's something about people, you know, who have faith that makes God bypass all the do-gooders around Him and zero in on Him. And God is asking, what shall I give you? Amen? So are you willing to cross over and stop all these excuses? Amen? Then pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you promise me long life, good health, renewal of my youth like the eagles. And like Caleb, I want to be able to say, Lord, when I'm 85, I'm as strong this day as I was the day Moses sent me. Father, renew my strength, renew my youth, restore my health, and grant me long life. And I dedicate my long life to you, to serve you with, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name that I be rooted, Father. Root me in your house, that I might flourish in the courts of God. I don't want to go from place to place to place not being rooted. Crown me, Lord, in your house. Thank you, Father, and cause me to flourish, Lord, like the palm tree and grow like the cedars of Lebanon. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God is healing someone. You have a knee condition and it's bothered you for some time. And right now, if you move your knee up and down, do it right now in Jesus' name. There you go. The pain is gone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Write to us and let us know about it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There is a growth. There's a growth in someone's neck over here. And it seems to be growing larger. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I curse that growth to its roots. In the name of the Lord Jesus, be healed. Receive your healing right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, friend, when you know the manifestation has happened, that growth is gone, please write to us and let us know, okay? The reason we're asking people to write is so that others will hear and their faith will be released because they know that what God has done for you, God can do for them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's someone else that's watching this right now. The headache that you had just now while you're watching this has just left you. And just a little sign from God that His love and His attention is on you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Someone who you're getting blurry vision recently, and right now your eyes are so clear, and it even surprises you. It's clearer than before, and the Lord has healed your eyes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Someone, you're experiencing pain in the middle of your chest, and the pain comes on and off during the night, and it woke you up. And even just now as you're watching and you're very concerned about this, but right now you're feeling warmth in all that area. The Lord has healed you, my friend. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord has healed you. Praise the name of Jesus. Someone, I see like a fat all over your liver. The Lord is healing your liver. All those with liver conditions, receive your healing right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Regardless of what affliction you may have, place your hand right now in that area. Amen. You don't know where to place your hand, just place your hand on your head. Father in heaven, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I release your healing into their bodies right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receive it in faith right now. Receive it. Say, Lord, I receive it in Jesus' name and I am healed. Say it, praise the Lord. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Thank you, Lord. Receive it and be thou made whole in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you have never received Jesus as your personal Savior and your Lord, this wonderful heavenly David, our Lord Jesus, right now, if you make Him Lord, straight away, it's like you're crossing over Jordan. You're dead to yourself and you're alive in a new self called the new creation. Pray this prayer with me then. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank You that Jesus Christ, Your Son, Himself, He died for me on that cross. He carried all my sins, all my diseases, and all my pains, and died in my place on that cross. On the third day, You raised Him from the dead. And I thank You that today He is alive at Your right hand. And I thank You that I rose with Him. Jesus Christ, say it, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Thank You, Father. All my sins are forgiven. I'm a brand new creation in Christ. And I'll flourish like the palm tree, grow like the cedars of Lebanon. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Now listen, regardless of what you hear all around you that's happening, all the negative reports and all that, don't let the negativities of the world and all the evil report get into your heart. Amen. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. Keep your mind on all that we have shared. Look up all the scriptures. Let God speak to you from them. Praise the Lord. And have that personal time with the Lord where you know that hearing Your voice is what the Lord desires. Amen. Just talk to Him. He desires to see you come to Him. Amen. And to hear Your voice. Praise the Lord. Stand to your feet. Lift up your hands. This coming week, the Lord bless you and your families. The Lord keep you and everyone in your family from all evil, from all harm, from all danger, from the power of the evil one. The Lord make His face to shine on you and be favorable to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and your family and grant to you and yours His shalom, wholeness, well-being, and peace. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Until the next time. The Promised Land, the land of the Bible, the very land through which our Lord Himself walked. Hi, I'm Joseph Prince, and I'll be your personal guide helping you discover the land of Israel. My brand new book, Expedition Promised Land, Walk Where Jesus Walked. Through this book, I take you on a 10-day visual journey to discover Israel as if I were your personal guide. There's just something about being in Israel. The Bible comes alive in a special and intimate way. Everything about it, its rich history and culture, its topography and its landscape. Everywhere you turn and in everything you look at, the rocks, the trees, the ancient practices, are pictures of our Lord Jesus and what He has done for us at the cross. As we explore Israel together through this book, my prayer is that you will see a living Savior in this ancient land. We'll explore the region of Galilee, where our Lord Jesus calmed the storms, multiplied the loaves and fishes. We'll also be visiting the old city of Jerusalem, where His passion took place and where the early church was born. Filled with stunning photographs, page after page, and breathtaking video footage, this book will help you visualize what it'll be like to be at many different locations around Israel.
My team and I have also included helpful maps, diagrams, illustrations, and Bible timelines. These visual aids will give you a better understanding of the historical and spiritual significance of the sites. This is indeed my most ambitious publishing project to date. I pray that you'll walk away encountering our living Savior afresh as we journey to this beautiful land that He Himself walked upon. Friend, join me to encounter Jesus in a deep and personal way through the pages of this book, and your life will never be the same.
Joseph Prince's latest book, Expedition Promised Land, Walk Where Jesus Walked, is now available. Get your copy today.
I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. If your life has been touched by the gospel of grace, please share your testimony with us in the comments below. Once again, thanks for tuning in today, and I would appreciate it if you would share this sermon with someone who needs to hear it today. God bless you, and see you in the next episode.